Hi, my name's Mackenzie, and thank you for joining us today on another episode of Social Work Now. Today we have sitting in with us Mary Beth. She is a school nurse teacher who works with children with mental health needs on a daily basis. She can offer us a great insight into the medical aspects of this prevalent issue within the school setting. Hi, Mary Beth. Thank you very much for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to start off by telling the listeners a little bit about your background as a school nurse teacher?
I am sure. Right now I'm starting my 21st year. My district is a rural district. We're about 1,700 students, and in my building we have about 575. Prior to that, I was worked part-time in the emergency room while my children were young.
Okay, great. And do you want to tell us just in what ways in the school setting that you may have to address the mental well-being of your students among all the other aspects of their health that you have to deal with?
See, I think that the students nowadays are under a great deal of stress, whether it's academic with the more rigorous standards that they have to do in school, or the stress in their home life of a parent. We have many single parents. We have children being raised by grandparents and parents that aren't working. So our students are coming to, I believe, more stress to school than they ever have been.
Definitely, and like I said before, that's something that I've taken note of in my current field placement, is that a lot of times there's all these other issues that they have to address before they can put school first. And so a lot of times some of those other important things, you know, that are necessary to pass your classes and get good grades and move on and graduate are sometimes, you know, to get put on the back burner, and that's unfortunate.
My age group is 9-year-olds to probably 14 or 15-year-olds, and many of our students come to school hungry, cold, no heat in their house.
Right, and I'm sure that's a very hard thing for you to see as a school nurse teacher, because, you know, you want to just, a lot of times you're just addressing things as a cut or if someone's sick, but I can imagine how hard that is to see that, you know, those very basic needs aren't being met on a daily basis, especially this time of year. You know, it's sad to see a child walk in with no coat or with shoes with holes in them. And like you said, for the vigorous standards and the testing that kids nowadays, especially at those ages, are being put through, like I mentioned in my previous interview, that a lot of times I think things like ADHD and ADD are overdiagnosed because you're expecting a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old to sit down and take things that they're clueless, you know, take tests on things that they're clueless about for 3 or 4 hours at a time. So of course, you know, the teachers are going to report that they're fidgety or they can't focus or they can't sit down. So, you know, I obviously think that there's a larger problem that needs to be addressed there before, you know, diagnosing a child and putting them on medications. So, you know, obviously the students that come to you who have mental health needs, who may need medication, do you have anything to do with the management of those medications or anything like that?
We have some, I give medicines throughout the day to, especially for children with anger issues and children with ADHD. Sometimes they will not take their medicine at home in the mornings, so I give them their morning medicine and their afternoon medicine. It's very rare for them to give me a hard time. This is a young age group, so they're usually pretty cooperative. But I have seen much more ADHD diagnosed than previous.
Right, yeah. And like we said, I think that's something that's just going to keep continuing to rise unless there is some type of a change in these standardized tests that unfortunately are mandated by the state.
But I also think that with many of our students just have medication and no, like, therapy, like behavioral therapy or any kind of therapy that goes along with it.
Right, and that's one of the things that my agency, Northeast in Schenectady, is a new policy change that was implemented about a year ago, is that in order to receive the medication management, the clients also have to be actively and consistently seeing a therapist. Because
that's going to be very beneficial. Very beneficial for both parents and the child.
Right, I agree. And I think even from a liability standpoint for the agencies, who are prescribing these medications, you know, a lot of times with families who are under a lot of stress or who do fall below the poverty line, you know, there are some concerns that come up with the medication in that process. So I think that's a great thing that you're able to kind of manage that and keep it under a microscope by giving out those medicines at school. So, you know, within, you know, obviously the medications have to come from somewhere, and children might be referred to you or by you to other agencies. So what other, you know, outside resources or agencies do you, you know, or within the school setting that do you work with?
With it being rural, we have Catholic Charities, who has a counselor that comes in 5 days a week between all three buildings and provides services for the students. So she provides counseling. We just in January lost Crime Victims Assistance. Okay. Children that had been victims of crime were able to receive counseling through her, but the funding we've lost. We use our guidance counselor and our social worker. Our social worker is worth her weight in gold. I mean, she has all the connections to the outside agencies. She does a lot of counseling. She gets these students heat, changing in living conditions, gas, you know, just for doctor's visits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's very important. And like we mentioned in my previous interview, you know, that a lot of times social workers have to take on, and you know, the guidance counselors and even staff like you, like the school nurse teachers, have to take on these enormous caseloads of hundreds and hundreds of kids. So it's nice that you guys have close contact with the other agencies like Catholic Charities, you know, the ones that can still come and provide services and maybe take some of that weight off of the shoulders of those individual workers. So because you've been in the field for some time now, what changes have you seen in the mental health field, whether that be the education level of students and their parents, or, you know, the way that things are treated?
See, I think the biggest changes is, I hate to say that, I just think that they're quickly given medicine and I don't think there's enough follow-up on it. I think the doses of medicine only gets changed if we're calling the parents to say that they're seeing a change in the behavior, or they're not as well behaved as they were prior, that maybe they've gotten older or gained some weight, that they need a medication adjustment. I still think the hardest thing for me with mental health issues is the fact that how do I know when a student is coming in with a stomach ache or a headache, and is it their anxiety, or are they truly sick?
Okay. Yeah, see, that's something that on the social worker side of it that I had never even thought of before.
You know, the somatic complaints we see a lot of.
Okay. Yeah, that's very interesting. And I think that's, you know, that's good to have you there for that, you know, that kind of that medical insight part of that, because while the agency that I work at right now, we do have doctors and nurses on staff, that's pretty much just for the consultations and for those follow-up appointments for the medication management. So I think that's something that's really important, that the side effects of these medications, which are so strong, can have such an effect on children, but, you know, that they can be quickly written off as just, you know, just a normal stomach bug that's going around the school, or they're, you know, they have a headache because they didn't get enough sleep. Yeah. So I think that's something that's really important to address. So what are some of the other challenges that you've had to face, you know, besides these issues with the overdiagnosis and the over-medication and things like that?
I think that the biggest is the kids that are suffering from anxiety, depression, whatever the diagnosis may end up being, is the length of time it takes for them to receive care. Okay. They can go to the crisis center where they can be seen, but it's still not dealt with right away.
Right.
I think that's the longest. I know that some of the counseling centers have a 3-month waiting list.
Wow.
For these young kids.
Yeah, and unfortunately, some of those things just can't wait that long. And I think that's when these kids end up getting trapped in the system, that they have no other options. And like we mentioned in the previous interview, you know, other agencies like DSS or CPS, they're just as swamped as private agencies and public funded agencies are. Also, so I think
a lot's fallen onto the schools to provide services for these kids.
Right, especially because that's where it's most accessible to them, rather than having to take them to a separate agency or you know,
it's more convenient.
Right. Okay, so, and you know, along with the challenges also comes rewards. So can you think of, you know, some of the most rewarding aspects of your job?
Oh, I would say that somebody with anxiety or depression who, whether it could be a short-term course of medicine that can see a benefit. I think the biggest thing that we deal with too is school avoidance. So once somebody gets their medication under control and you can see them coming to school and actively participating, whether it's in sports or drama club, or, you know, just staying in the after school programs.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm sure that's a really exciting thing to see. I think every person that I've talked to has really had that aha moment, or the moment where they finally get to...
You see them in the hall and you just see the... Right. Or them graduating from high school.
Right.
You know, high up in the top 10.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's great.
It really is.
So we're running out of time here, so I just wanted to ask you one last question, maybe some resources or suggestions that you could give to the listeners, especially parents of the young children that may be faced with addressing some of these, you know, mental and social health issues.
I honestly think that a parent knows in their gut when something's wrong, and don't think of it as a developmental. It could be developmental, but I wouldn't hesitate to get help.
Okay.
I just wouldn't wait for months and see if it gets better.
Definitely.
I would go and get an evaluation and let a professional tell you.
Right, the sooner the better. Yeah. And if best case scenario, there's nothing wrong, it was just a fluke or something like that.
Yep, it could be developmental, but it could not be.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. That's all the time we have, and we'll see you next time for another episode of Social Work Now.
Thank you.